The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Good morning. Good morning, frankly speaking, for everybody. In Russia, it's partial mobilization. And for Western countries, for your British listeners, I would say that Vladimir Putin told you that he will be ready to use nuclear weapons against Western countries, including nuclear weapons against Great Britain. Your cities.
Hold on a second. Let's just make that clear. You believe that in that speech there was a clear threat not just to use tactical nuclear weapons in Ukraine, but also to start a general nuclear war that would kill everyone?
Not everyone, but who can kill a lot of people in the Western country.
That's from the BBC 4, as you can see there on the screen. From earlier today, former Russian, he's a little bit hard to understand, but the announcer, I think, clarified it to some degree. He's saying he's a former Russian MP, former advisor to Vladimir Putin, just explaining things that Putin said in a speech this week. It wasn't but 2 seconds ago, remember, the talking heads told us that Putin is finished. He's finished. Now he's mobilizing 300,000 reservists, and he's threatening Ukraine and Britain. He's threatening to use nuclear weapons. He has them. He's threatening to use them against the West. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You know you can get to our website or these programs, all the literature that we offer at thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and it takes you to the live stream page. We produce this show every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here at the central time zone of the United States, here in central Oklahoma. So you can get the over-the-air broadcast here locally on campus, or most of you I know get the program through the live stream, or you listen on demand to one of your devices or on one of your devices after the fact. So here is Vladimir Putin regrouping. This is pretty much the forecast that we gave you here at the Trumpet just last week, as the Western talking heads were just giddy with delight. We've defeated Putin. We're going to go through some stories today showing how Russia is winning the energy war against Europe, even the United States. Our economies are collapsing, and that's not happening in Russia. They've taken some hits in Ukraine recently, but their economy, the value of the ruble, those things are as good as ever. Russia's not going away. Vladimir Putin's not going away. We know this even from Bible prophecy. Your British listeners, this former Russian MP said, Vladimir Putin told you that he would be ready to use nuclear weapons. He's ready to use nuclear weapons. He's calling up 300,000 reservists. And Putin himself is quoted as saying, it's not a bluff. What I'm saying is not a bluff. To defend Russia, he said, and our people, we doubtlessly will use all resources at our disposal. That's just this week. The week after we were told he's finished. It's over. It's over for Vladimir Putin. Listen to this from the Sun, Conservative Treehouse, just talking about what's about to set in. For we heard about this some over in the UK when we were there a couple weeks ago. Skyrocketing energy costs and how it's going to... You look at the headlines coming out of Europe as soon as we come into our first cold snap, whether in Europe, on the continent, or in the UK... Of course, costs for fuel and energy are going up here in the United States as well. A winter of discontent. That's what we're heading into. This is from, as I say, Conservative Treehouse. The statistics behind the energy impact upon the German economy, the largest economy in the European Union, are almost unfathomable in scale. There is no way for the German industrial economy to continue with this level of price pressure. It says, stick a fork in the current creation of German industrial products and exports. The inflection point of feasibility for continued production has been crossed. They are done. Sundance says, according to the released statistics from the German Economic Ministry, energy prices in August were more than double the same period last year. Up 139%. It says the monthly increase was more than 20.4% higher than July. Additionally, producer prices for electricity rose 174% compared with August 2021. The jaw-dropping increase in energy cost has resulted in German manufacturing prices for industrial goods jumping 7.9% in August alone, with a year-over-year increase in the cost to manufacture goods at 45.8%, year over year. Says that's the highest rate of price increase since Germany began recording their statistics in 1939. All across the West, you're seeing statements such as this from analysts who are saying we haven't seen this since the end of World War II or since the Carter years in the late 70s. Says right now Germany is on the cusp of a full-blown economic meltdown. And as we have seen recently, German Minister of Economics has no idea how to handle it. I mean, this is headed for catastrophe. It's coming. It's coming to a nation near you this winter. It's probably coming to your nation. What happens? What happens when the German economy crumbles? What happens when there's economic crisis in the heart of Europe? And furthermore, why aren't there more news outlets covering this, discussing this? Even when the economy in Greece collapsed years ago, what was that, 15 years ago or so? It got a lot more attention, certainly from, you know, economics reporters over here in the United States and in the UK. Certainly it got attention in Europe for obvious reasons. But now we're looking at these skyrocketing costs, and here's a commentator, one anyway, saying Germany's finished. That's Sundance, as I say. Here's foreign policy. It says factories, businesses, and families across Europe are battling for survival as Russia's chokehold on the continent's natural gas supply sends prices to astronomical heights, unleashing a brutal economic storm that has tested European solidarity about Russia's war in Ukraine and fueled fears of an impending recession. Putin's energy war, you see the headline there, it's crushing Europe. Is Vladimir Putin finished? Is that it for Vladimir Putin? Let's step back and look at the bigger picture here. He's cutting off oil supplies to Europe, to Germany. All of these sanctions that are supposed to hurt Russia. In fact, it's hurting Europe. It's hurting the United States more. By far. It says here, crushingly high energy prices have soared to 10 times their average level throughout the past decade. 10 times? Leading to spikes that have throttled industry, and left households scrambling to pay their bills. It says Brussels is talking about rationing gas. National governments are racing to find alternative supplies now that Russia has cut off essentially one-third of the continent's gas supplies as part of its campaign to make Europe cry uncle. These are war tactics, and Russia's winning. Russia's winning. You think the protests and the discontent on the streets of Western nations has been bad during COVID or before that even? We were coming into the age of, I think it was in 2019, we had a trumpet cover on the age of protests. And then you have George Floyd, and then you have all the other discontent over COVID and mask mandates, vaccines, and so on. And now this, it says here, from the energy-intensive aluminum industry to fertilizer manufacturers, companies across Europe have been forced to slash production or even go bankrupt in the face of eye-watering prices. To shield households and businesses from greater pain, governments have funneled hundreds of billions of dollars into subsidies, immense sums of money that reflect the continent's grave economic state and the unprecedented nature of the crisis. This is how the West is handling this crisis. Just in the case of the U.S., print more money or deficit spending. Just throw trillions of dollars at it, and that'll hopefully take care of everything. Hopefully it'll all go away, and it's just getting worse. It's just making inflation worse, much worse. Donald Trump, by the way, who can forget? He warned Germany. He sat across the conference room table, told the German leaders, look, you're building this pipeline to be dependent on Russia for gas, and here we're meant to protect you. We're meant to protect Europe through NATO. You should be relying on the United States for fuel, for energy. And then he said this at the UN. I think this is clip four.
Germany will become totally dependent on Russian energy if it does not immediately change course. Here in the Western Hemisphere, we are committed to maintaining our independence from the encroachment of expansionist foreign powers. It has been the formal policy of our country since President Monroe.
Hard to believe that was only 4 years ago at the UN, and there you saw the German contingent just laughing, snickering. Oh, come on. We're not dependent on Russia. 4 years later, as much as 10 times what it was just a few years ago. How do you even wrap your mind around a 139% increase over last year, as I just read to you? This is happening in Germany. It's happening in the UK. It's happening in the United States to a lesser extent, but we're facing, again, a winter of discontent. This is from the City Journal. It says, wars are fought on many fronts. So far, Russian President Vladimir Putin is winning the energy war. High energy prices, triggered by supply disruptions, have neutered Western sanctions. Russia's current account balance stands at record highs. Meantime, the same forces are deindustrializing Europe right before our eyes. Industry after industry is throttling back, shutting down, or considering doing so if the energy chaos continues. This is driving industry into the ground. Says Britain is staring at the potential shutdown of 60% of its manufacturers. Can you believe this? This is Great Britain. We've talked a lot about Britain and the history, the British Empire, because of the Queen's death. Here they are considering shutting down 60% of manufacturing. Can't afford to manufacture it. So where are you going to get it? Where are you going to go for all of these goods and services? Well, probably China. Times of the Gentiles, the whole economic order of this world is about to be turned on its head. And it's prophesied. Tomorrow's news today, Herbert Armstrong said it would be the economic crisis that would trigger this seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire in Europe. They've got to come together. Even though it's a mixture of iron and clay, they've got to come together just to compete with Russia and China. What did it say about Russia? Russia's current account balance stands at record highs. Is that significant from a prophetic standpoint? Is Vladimir Putin, the Prince of Rosh, is he going away anytime soon? This is from Issues and Insights with respect to the United States. You look at our economy. With red lights flashing nearly everywhere, the economy's prospects look grim. Soaring inflation, crashing home sales, plunging GDP, falling real incomes. No question, the economy is a mess. So why is the Biden administration saying things are going better? They're just out there saying the opposite. If it's collapsing all around, there, it's just like that reporter in front of the burning building in 2020. Yeah, it's mostly great. The economy's collapsing. We're looking at economic catastrophe. And you've got Joe Bama and his people out there saying, everything's great. We're really growing. The economy's doing so much better. All of these sanctions against Russia. And look at how it's hurting the United States, the UK, Germany, the heart of Europe. Listen to this from Herbert Armstrong. This is a message he gave back in 1984, clip 3.
But I believe that some event is going to happen suddenly, just like out of a blue sky, that is going to shock the whole world and is going to cause the nations of Europe to realize they must unite. Well, he said he believed that would have to happen too. Well, now I think I can see what may be the very event that is going to trigger it, and that is the economic situation in the world.
That was in 1984, several decades ago. Tomorrow's News Today, I've been pointing you to the United States and Britain in prophecy all week. And, you know, there's a lot in here, too, about Germany as well. The focus is on the U.S. and Britain, obviously. But God's going to raise up an empire in Europe to correct our nations. It's all prophesied. The economic collapse will trigger the unification, the military unification of Europe. You know all about what we've said regarding the Union, and it's come together a lot in a lot of ways economically. It's come together in a lot of ways politically. But they've just drug their feet on the military side of things. But with the U.S. more and more on the way out, and with all of these dire conditions around the world economically, you can be sure leaders in Europe are about to panic. They're about to cry out for a strong man that can unite all of these disparate parts, bring the clay and the iron together, even if for just a short time. That's the way your Bible says it will happen. They come together and they have the one mind with the beast for a short time. You can read about that in Revelation 17. Notice this from an article my father wrote in 2015. This is 7 years ago. He says, for decades, Europe has tried to unify economically, militarily, and politically, but it has been unable to do so. The European Union consists of 28 loosely allied, fairly disunited states. In that respect, it has been a spectacular failure. Mr. Armstrong made a personal prophecy about this regarding how the European superpower would finally unite. I think it's the greatest personal prophecy he ever made because it's being fulfilled today exactly as he described it. He says, in 1984, Mr. Armstrong wrote that a massive banking crisis in America could suddenly result in triggering European nations to unite as a new world power, larger than either the Soviet Union or the U.S. And we've played some of those clips before about the reunification of Europe, the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Look at how close. He was writing that in 2015. He commented that back in 2008, you know, when the United States economy was just hanging by a thread, we came so close, just in 2008, to total collapse, economically speaking. But it was put off, delayed for a little bit. And now look where we are today. This same article from 2015 says, Mr. Armstrong saw this crisis looming in 1984. The steps that were taken to avert it in 2008 solved nothing. They only delayed it for a short time. There's going to be another financial meltdown, far more catastrophic. That was the trumpet forecast in 2015, 7 years ago. If you haven't yet subscribed to the Trumpet magazine, make sure you call our operators today. The number is toll-free. If you live in the United States, in Canada, in the Caribbean, it's 1-866-930-3024. Ask them for a free subscription, a one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine, and we send it out 10 times a year, 10 issues per year. There's no cost, no obligation. We just need to know the address so that we can send it to you each month. This morning in Epistles of Paul class, we went through 1 Thessalonians 5. Well, chapter 4 ends with all of this detail about Christ's return and the resurrection of the saints and how that they rise to meet him in the air and then they descend back down to this earth to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. All of that prophesied in your Bible. Some of it referenced in Queen Elizabeth's funeral, reading scriptures about the resurrection from the dead and how that physical death is like sleep, as Paul said. And you're going to, if you've died in the faith, you're going to wake up with a brilliant, spirit-powered body, born again into God's family, the kingdom of God. That's right there in the last few verses of 1 Thessalonians 4. And then chapter 5 begins by saying, look, there's going to be, in the very last days, the ruling class, the elites, are going to be saying, hey, we've got it all. It's kind of like Neville Chamberlain waving the paper. It's peace now. Now we've got peace. I mean, he said that just moments, so to speak, moments before an explosion of violence that resulted in 60 million human beings being slaughtered over a 5 or 6 year period. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." You, if your eyes are open to what's happening in this world, you know, as my father has said, you know an explosion is coming. You know that this is not sustainable where we are at the moment. And then you've got the radical left in control here in the United States, just making matters so much worse with all these Green New Deal initiatives, this insanity, and then the self-hatred. The world around us is burning. And you've got these radical leftists, you've got these communist infiltrators just doing everything that they can to make matters worse, so much worse. If we have time, we'll get into the border crisis. If there's one thing that Ron DeSantis has done, he's drawn attention to it with just one plane load of just 50 Venezuelans. And now all of a sudden, they can't not talk about it. They have to talk about it. I think they're making it worse with all of this nonsense about some kind of lawsuit against Ron DeSantis. Here you've got lawyers rushing to the defense of illegal aliens as if Ron DeSantis is the problem. This is what we're doing to ourselves, even as we see the world around us exploding in violence and hatred and division and strife. Verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." And then Paul says, look, don't let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us open our eyes and watch world events and be sober, spiritually speaking, not spiritually drunk, but sober-minded, prepared, ready, knowing that when the diplomats of peace, the ambassadors of peace come forward and say, we've got it all solved, there's going to be peace, finally there will be peace, then you know an explosion is about to happen. When we come back, we'll focus in on the attention that talking heads are finally giving to the border crisis, almost like because they have to bring it up. And then also a follow-up on the Queen's funeral. King Charles has already made it known that he wants kind of a slightly less grand coronation next year. I guess we're hearing that the coronation will be in June sometime next year. And he doesn't want it to be so special. He wants it to be scaled back a little bit. Surprise, surprise. Yesterday on the show, remember I said this is probably the last ceremony, certainly one that massive in its appeal with billions of people tuning in. Probably the last time you're ever going to see anything like that, with just scripture after Bible scripture into the songs, into the recitations, into the whole presentation. I mean, in that sense, it was a glorious, glorious sight to behold. And very unusual to come out from Ephraim. Certainly won't see that coming out of Manasseh. Not until Jesus Christ establishes God's kingdom on this earth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, the email address is td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does he allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Last month in August, there were 12 individuals on the FBI's terror watch list arrested here at our southern border. That brings the total for fiscal year 2022 so far to 78 people on that terror watch list arrested here at the border. That is triple the previous 5 years combined. Just to put it in perspective for your viewers, from fiscal year 17 through 21, there were 26 of these terror watch list arrests. We are now at 78 so far this year.
78 terrorists. And these are the ones they caught. Of the something like 850,000 ones that have just gotten away or have sneaked their way through without getting apprehended, how many terrorists are in that mix? Five times? Did he say it was five times more than the last 5 years, or 10 times more than the last 5 years combined? They're catching terrorists coming through the border. So there's Bill Malugin. He's probably the lone reporter who's down there. There's another guy that reports to Steve Bannon. That's about it. And then the next plane, the next DeSantis-sponsored plane, is supposed to land somewhere in Delaware near where Joe Biden has his estate. Play clip six. I don't know if it has sound, but bring it up next to me. Look at the as they're gathering. These are reporters gathering and waiting for a plane to fly in from Florida that might have, what, 50 migrants coming to this nice palatial estate or a place for you to get away and have some fun at the beach. I mean, Martha's Vineyard, that's like heaven on earth, some would say. And so here are the reporters. They're there to see the 50, but they won't go to the southern border where the 2 million are coming in and the 78 terrorists are being arrested. It's unbelievable. There's a story, a long piece in Politico about how the White House is angry. They're upset with Bill Malugin. He's the only one that actually goes to the southern border. And he shows pictures. He has drone footage. He sees them coming across. He's on the scene to report when these migrants are drowning in the Rio Grande. Or suffocating to death in the back of a semi-trailer. The way these communists, these propagandists in the media frame the narrative, it really and truly is criminal. It really is. How could there be that many reporters waiting for a plane to touch down in Delaware, and they could care less about Del Rio, Texas, El Paso, any of these other, Tucson, Arizona? They could care less. They don't care if you rot in the back of a semi-trailer. Politico says here, Bill Malugin, a former local Los Angeles Emmy-winning reporter, has become a growing presence online and in broader political circles as Fox's go-to reporter at the U.S. southern border. It says, in recent days, several current and former White House and administration officials, translation, Obama's people, expressed to West Wing Playbook their increasing frustration with his on-air coverage, arguing that there is an alarmist quality to it. Oh, Bill Malugin, he's the alarmist. For telling you that 2 million illegals have come across the border this year. Hundreds of thousands per month. And we don't know where half of them are coming from. And we don't know anything about the ones that get away. It says here, immigration has been a key issue that has filled many hours of programming for Fox News since its inception. So the message here from Politico is, why do you even talk about immigration? Come on. How is this not a huge story? What in what other nation on earth are there 2 and 3 million illegals coming into the nation? This breaks the back of nations. What's happening to the United States. It says here, Bill Malugin has helped usher in a new style of coverage of the issue by the network. He's part of a more technologically savvy generation of Fox reporters and producers whose work leans more heavily on-the-ground reporting, augmented by soaring aerial drone footage of migrants crossing the border. It sounds like that's pretty good reporting. In my mind, you mean he's actually on the ground? He's actually showing you what's happening? That's news. Last time I heard, that's news. That's journalism. But no, you've got all these reporters showing up in Delaware. It's packed. It's packed near the tarmac. It is packed at the airport because they've got to find out what evil Ron DeSantis is getting away with, how he's involved in human trafficking. Don't forget, by the way, it was just 9-10 months ago. What was that gal's name? The Epstein gal, Ghislaine Maxwell. She was convicted on 200 and some odd counts of sex trafficking. And we know nothing about one of her customers. Now, the press they're so concerned about what they see now as human trafficking. Ron DeSantis is trafficking humans. They don't care that Biden did it to all over the country. They come into Texas, and Biden's people just helps them get on a bus or a plane and takes them all over, sometimes in the dark of night, a lot of times in the dark of night. Ron DeSantis does it once. Really, it's a brilliant move because it's making them talk about it just ahead of the midterms. You can see from the political piece, they don't want you talking about this subject. They don't want you to even bring it up. Bill Malugin needs to be targeted now because he's on the ground showing he's technologically savvy. It says here, as Malugin has become an increasingly visible figure on the network, his coverage has caught the attention of the White House, which has become increasingly irritated by his reporting. The White House has remained extremely sensitive to immigration issues, in part because it's been a political vulnerability for Biden. So cover it up. Blot it out. Blot it out. And they're having a hard time doing it, thanks in large part to what Ron DeSantis did, and Greg Abbott as well, Ducey in Arizona. They're the governors in these southern states saying, all right, if it's going to be wide open, if millions are coming in, then some of these states up north are going to have to shoulder the burden. And furthermore, they're supposedly they're sanctuary states and sanctuary cities. Martha's Vineyard is a sanctuary island. So they welcome them in for 44 hours, and then traffic them over to a military base. Yeah, they're in an internment camp, these Venezuelans. As lawyers line up trying to represent them so that they can go against not the illegal immigration, not the obvious crime that's staring at them right across the table. They admit it. The busload they dropped off in front of Kamala's house in D.C., they get off and say, yes, we're illegals. We're illegals. It's happening every day. Thousands and thousands, millions over the course of this year. An administration that wants this to happen. They want this to continue. So the focus is on Martha's Vineyard and now Delaware. There the reporters show up. Media Matters told them this is the next big story. You better get up there to Delaware. And they're there. They hustle right on over. But as I say, across the board in the legacy media, you're hearing them now talk about illegal immigration because they have to. This was the DHS, Jay Johnson. He was working for Obama during the first or second term, or maybe both. Listen to what he had to say on one of the communist networks, clip two.
When I was in office, the numbers were annually about 300,000-400,000 a year. We're now getting that in a matter of 6 to 8 weeks. Mm. Also, when I was in office, as Sister Norma knows, we were dealing with migrants from the Northern Triangle. Women, children from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. That is less so now. It's, as you noted, Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela.
But not just those three. Tucker had a piece last night. He's got another documentary coming out on the lawless border. And footage of Pakistanis just roaming the streets of some town in South Texas. Where are you from? Pakistan. They're coming from all over the world. Because they know once they get in, they stay. They're here for good. Even if they're apprehended at the border, they don't send them back. So they're coming from Middle Eastern nations, from Southeast Asia, Central, South America, all over the world. This is from Insider. It says here, regarding these Martha's Vineyard Venezuelans, lawyers representing migrants dumped on Martha's Vineyard want Florida Governor DeSantis criminally investigated over the stunt. So what's the crime exactly? You fly them on a plane to one of the most posh vacation spots in the country, in the world. Where's the crime? Well, they're looking for that. It's kind of like the way the Biden DOJ operates. We've just got to investigate something because surely it's wrong. Surely it's a crime. Yeah, but Biden did it many, 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 many times over. Never mind. Never mind. DeSantis is a Republican. It says here, the Boston-based lawyers for civil rights group, which say it's representing more than 30 of the migrants, sent letters to Massachusetts Attorney General and Massachusetts U.S. Attorney over the weekend saying that criminal laws were broken by the perpetrators of this stunt. So try to wrap your mind around this. Here are U.S. attorneys, Americans, representing illegal aliens from Venezuela against Ron DeSantis, an American. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Sure. Somehow we've got to use the Constitution, we've got to use the laws of the United States to go after not the illegal aliens from Venezuela, but Ron DeSantis. We want to try to make Ron DeSantis or the government in Florida to pay these illegal aliens millions and millions of dollars in damages. For what? Well, they were lied to. They were promised this. Really? This is the crime? That's right. It says here, our clients, this is quoting one of the the radical left-wing lawyers, our clients were induced to board airplanes and cross state lines. They cross state lines? Is that illegal? There's state lines at the south of Texas as well. There's state lines at the south of Arizona as well. But these, he flew them across state lines. That's serious. That's very serious. It says here, individuals working in concert with the Florida governor made numerous false promises to our clients, their clients, including of work opportunities, schooling for their children, and immigration assistance in order to induce them to travel. They're really fighting. They're fighting for the Venezuelans, not ordinary Americans, not law-abiding citizens. They're lining up. They're probably offering their services for free. I don't think any of these Venezuelans have a wad of cash that they can put. They gave it all to the coyotes. You think they have money to pay the lawyers now? These lawyers are lining up for free so that they can take down DeSantis. He's like Trump Lite. If you can take down Trump Lite, go for it. We'll give you our services. Let's go. Game on. Is America sick? Is there a sickness here that is not going to be fixed until God heals the land, until God heals our people, until God's kingdom is set up on this earth? Here's DeSantis last night on Fox News telling you straight up the facts behind this so-called crime, clip 7.
Yeah, and by the way, just for the record, this was voluntary. All migrants were put up in hotels, given accommodations. They were fed, they were showered, they were offered haircuts and any other services that they were needed, correct?
Yeah, not only that, they all signed consent forms to go. And then the vendor that is doing this for Florida provided them with a packet that had a map of Martha's Vineyard. It had the numbers for different services on Martha's Vineyard. And then it had numbers for the overall agencies in Massachusetts that handle things involving immigration and refugees. So it was clearly voluntary, and all the other nonsense you're hearing is just not true. And why wouldn't they want to go, given where they were? They were in really, really bad shape, and they got to be cleaned up, everything treated well, and then put in a situation where you could say, Sean, there are jobs available in Martha's Vineyard. There is lodging available in Martha's Vineyard. Had they lived up to their what they build themselves at as a sanctuary jurisdiction, they could have absorbed those people without a problem. But here's the thing. They said they didn't have housing. They said they couldn't accommodate. Like, let's just say that's true for a minute. Well, what does that mean for these poor towns in Texas? What does it mean for these other places across the country that are seeing influx? What does it mean to these small towns that Biden has dumped so many people in? And so I think what we've been able to do is show that this border is a disaster. Biden has failed on this as much or more than on any other policy. And now people are talking about it, and we want solutions as Americans.
He's exactly right about that last statement there. The border is a disaster, and now, finally, people are talking about it. I mean, they're still as narrative driven as ever. You see all the reporters gathering in Delaware, for example. But they're having to talk about it. I saw a lengthier clip this morning from MSNBC. And again, DeSantis is the devil. He's Satan. But they're talking about the disaster at the border and just representing these Venezuelans. That keeps Martha's Vineyard in the news as well. It's like they're shooting themselves in the foot, really. You had this sheriff from, I think he's from San Antonio. He came forward. He wants to go after DeSantis. He wants to investigate. Some sheriff, some nobody sheriff in San Antonio, he wants to go after Florida's governor, of all things. Listen to this, clip 5.
We are opening up a case with an investigation with regard to the suspected activities involving the 48 migrants from Venezuela that, as we understand it at this point, the facts of the case at this point, are that on Wednesday, September 14th, here in Bexar County in the city of San Antonio, a Venezuelan migrant was paid a what we would call a bird dog fee to recruit approximately 50 migrants from the area around a migrant resource center on San Pedro. As we understand it, 48 migrants were lured, I will use the word lured, under false pretenses into staying at a hotel where they were flown to Florida and then eventually flown to Martha's Vineyard, again, under false pretenses is the information that we have, that they were promised work, they were promised the solution to several of their problems. They were taken to Martha's Vineyard from what we can gather for little more than a photo op, video op, and then they were unceremoniously stranded in Martha's Vineyard.
The illegals who broke into the country, they were lured and promised. So surely DeSantis needs to go to prison for that. Maybe he can be in the cell next to Donald Trump for having papers in his Mar-a-Lago estate, for holding on to papers that he declassified. Put them next to each other. Put them in jail. All of these flights, right around where this man's actual jurisdiction is, McAllen Airport, El Paso's down the road, there's Arlington. They're flying migrants all over the country, Joe Obama's people. But it's this one. It's this one that he's really interested in. He's probably also interested in a job for the Joe Obama administration. There he is auditioning for a job. There he is putting his resume out. I'd love to work for Joe Obama. All of this illegal. You know, the semi-truck, it's right close to where this man's jurisdiction is. Happened on his watch. 50 migrants. Did he have, was there that much publicity for the investigation into how these migrants suffocated to death? 50 of them. I think it was 53. How did they suffocate to death in the back of a trailer? How'd the investigation into that play out? I wonder. Everything's about theater. It's all built on fake, phony narratives. Truth is all that will set us free. Jesus said so. I mentioned yesterday on the show how that we probably won't see another event like the Queen's funeral until God's kingdom is set up on this earth. And right on cue, the Daily Mail comes forward and reports that Charles wants a, quote, King Charles, he wants a shorter, smaller, less expensive coronation to reflect his new monarchy. See, he's different. He's more a man of the people. He's more humble, I suppose he thinks. It's got to be shorter. It's got to be smaller. Look at the outpouring of love and support. As I told you yesterday, millions lining the streets, hundreds of thousands waiting in line for 48 hours in some cases, billions watching on TV. And so the message that King Charles takes from that is that, well, when I'm coronated next year, it just needs to be smaller. It doesn't need to be as long of a ceremony. It needs to be less expensive. The Daily Mirror says, the king is very aware of the struggles felt by modern Britain, so we'll see his wishes carried through, that although his coronation ceremony should stay right and true to the long-held traditions of the past, we'll see about that. It should also be representative of a monarchy in a modern world. Oh, okay, so we've got to modernize the monarchy. We've got to modernize even the ceremonies. It says here, the king has long been an advocate of a streamlined or slimmed-down monarchy, and this project could certainly be said to fit with his vision. He's already spoken of his wish to continue his mother's legacy, and this includes continuing to recognize what the people are experiencing day by day. The Daily Mail reported this, while the traditional aspects of the ceremony are expected to remain unchanged, it's thought the king will try to celebrate and protect the diversity of the UK by inviting members of different faiths, including Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, and Buddhist people, as part of the congregation. So there you go. Everyone is welcome. Just like the sign I saw at a Baptist church last night. All are welcome. Everybody, just come right in. Yeah, no background checks here. Just come right in. He's going to have that for the coronation. I told you yesterday, Satan loves unity projects. He loves the word union. The union of states, the union of nations, the United Nations. And what does it produce? More division, more strife, more hatred, more war, more violence, every single time. At the start of today's show, we talked about the world that is burning in Europe, in the West. And then you see the sickness, as I've touched on today. You see the sickness in Ephraim and Manasseh. Here again, U.S. and Britain in prophecy. This comes from the Federalist. It says Hong Kong. The title is The British Empire Was a Force for Western Civilization. It says here, there's the attack on the British Empire is so hateful and it's so irrational. You do have some voices speaking up and saying, what is wrong with these people? And why are they singling out the British Empire only? That's it. And furthermore, what about the British Empire? Says here, Hong Kong and Singapore, India and Pakistan, Egypt and South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the United States. These far-flung countries are all the powerhouses of their regions of the world, both politically and economically. So, okay, you want to talk about the sins of Britain? Can we talk about some of this history? Can we actually look at the facts? It says they have histories of law, order, and general liberty that, though certainly troubled and far from perfect, tower above those of their neighbors. Yes, thanks in large part to the British Empire. It says here, finally, they were all once major colonies of the British Empire. European Empire had many exports. Some were ugly, including death and war. Others, however, were beautiful. When the Spanish Empire collapsed 200 years ago, for example, it left lands more Catholic than even Spain itself. And as the British Empire receded in the years following its heroic struggle to defeat the Nazis and the Imperial Japanese, it left all around the globe strong and durable native institutions built in the British model. This is true. This is true. It says, because where the British went, tribal justice was replaced with written law. One famous story from the Raj recalls Hindu priests complaining to the British officer that his soldiers wouldn't let them burn a dead man's widow on the funeral pyre, per local custom. My nation also has a custom, said the British officer. When men burn women alive, we hang them. And we confiscate all their property. Far from anecdotal, it says, where the British ruled, slavery was eventually abolished. Literacy rates improved, railroads were built, and elites were educated at universities. Theirs is a legacy that stands far apart from the barbarous Dutch or murderous French, and the states the British left behind testify to this truth every day. There's still testimony to this every single day. It says Queen Elizabeth II, of course, had little to do with this impressive history. She ascended to the throne just 70 years ago as the empire was winding down in every respect. That didn't stop the enemies of civilization from attacking her, of course. Yes, of course, because of all of this good. And we can add, because God was behind it, the man writing this piece obviously doesn't see the spiritual dimension, but because God was behind it, that's why you see this deranged and hateful an obsessed attempt to just blot it all out. To just say, it's like Don Lemon said yesterday, we've got to have reparations. Okay, well, let's go back to root causes then, Don. They literally know nothing. So says Ben Rhodes. Pretty good piece. This was at the Federalist. The British Empire was a force for Western civilization. That's all we have time for on today's show, unfortunately. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.